and the creation of the church. The point is this: Christ continues to work. Notice the rest of this verse. The first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach. That word was purposely chosen. He began. The point is, he's continuing. And here in Acts, we see the continuation of Jesus doing and teaching. And so we see throughout these chapters, if you read through Acts, we see that the word is spreading. Souls are being saved and coming to Christ. People are showing the love of Christ to the world. His church is doing that. And then in verse 2, what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Now this is a great verse. It's just a short verse, but it has the four themes that you will find as you keep reading throughout the entire book of Acts. What are those four themes? Well, the first one is the ascension of Christ until the day he was taken up to heaven. The same eternal Son of God, dwelling with the Father throughout eternity, took on flesh and descended and came into our world on a mission with purpose. The same Lord lived and he gave his life and he was raised, and then he ascended and went back to sit at the right hand of the Father, the place of ultimate authority. So he was taken up to heaven. He is the exalted Lord, and that's a theme throughout Scripture. He's the exalted Lord, but he also continues his ministry from there. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment. The second theme we find in this entire book and in this verse is the apostles. Until the day he was taken up, after giving his chosen apostles. Now, the apostles had their unique authority. There are no more apostles with this authority. Their apostleship, having been directly chosen by the Lord himself and seeing the risen Christ themselves, they have a unique authority. We submit to their authority. The writings of the New Testament and have the stamp of apostolic authority upon them. They are the purveyors of Christ's message, his gospel, and his truth. We submit to this authority. They stand above us in that sense. You know, many New Testament letters were written as corrective to a local church that maybe had gone astray. So even the very earliest church, local church, submitted to apostolic authority. My dear friends, we do as well today. We submit to the authority of the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament. And then the third theme that we find: he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions. This further instructions, well, it's about discipleship. To be further instructed is to grow. It's about witness, it's about evangelism, it's about discipleship. Directly after this, as you keep reading, just a few verses later, he gives them the instructions to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, he's saying, make disciples. Further instructions I'm giving you, make disciples. And really, the whole New Testament is about this further instructions. Now, we're gonna get into that over the weeks. And then the fourth theme you'll find in the book of Acts and in this verse, of course, further instructions. How did he give those? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now acting in and through the body of Christ, the church. And then verse 3. During the 40 days, what is the 40 days? That's the 40 days from his resurrection until his ascension. 40 days. And we're kind of in that 40-day period now in our church calendar. March the 31st, Easter, 40 days, and then Pentecost comes 10 days after that. We're headed toward Pentecost Sunday and the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's where we'll be looking over the next few weeks. But during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, just briefly, as we prepare to come receive Holy Communion, I want to center in on just a few words here in verse 3. Notice, though, further instructions are coming, but notice the gospel is presented in this verse, verse 3. The gospel is presented. First of all, we find these words, he suffered and died. He suffered and died. Christ lived and died for God's glory and our salvation. And if you remember, when he was on the cross, he uttered a few statements, very few, but he uttered a few statements, and one of them, one of the most important words ever uttered, he uttered the word, it is finished. That's just one word in the Greek New Testament. We translate it, it is finished. And then he died after he said that. That word means to bring something to a close, or to finish, to end, to complete, or to perfect, or in finances, it means to pay in full, to pay off the debt completely, make the final payment. This brief word of Jesus, it is finished, what was he speaking of when he said that? He was speaking of completion, of perfection, of fulfillment, of accomplishment, of a final payment of God's salvation for us through the cross of our Lord. Salvation is now complete. That's what Jesus was saying. This atonement work of God's grace is a finished work through the death of Jesus Christ. Salvation decisively obtained by God's grace through His Son on the cross of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Listen to these key words that he presents to us. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, keep that in your mind, for all time, a single sacrifice for sins. He sat down at the right hand of God. There's the ascension again. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being saved and sanctified. His sufficient, single, perfect, atoning work on the cross for our salvation. God's justice fully paid. God's love on full display. In Jesus Christ. No other redemptive work is necessary. Do not add to what Christ has done for you. You cannot add to His saving work. It is a gift to be received by faith. It is finished. Our justification is the free and gracious act of God pardoning us and receiving us to God's favor again. Hope Lloyd, 46-year-old hiker, she was on a summit in in the mountains in New York, and this was last year, 2023, and she slipped and fell down several hundred feet of snow in a slippery rock slab, and before she left the cliff, she grabbed hold of a small spruce tree and held on until someone could get there to help her. Grabbing onto that tree saved her life. This is what she said to the Associated Press. That's the only thing that saved me. If I were a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, I wouldn't be here right now. Well, my friends, there is another tree in history that is perfectly aligned to save. Calvary's tree, or the cross of Christ. Jesus died on that tree. And if we hold fast to that tree by faith, we can know salvation as well. We can grab hold through trust in Him, and then we too will say, that's the only thing that saved me. We are to come to Him, believe in Him, trust Him and what He did on the cross for us, and receive His grace. Have you done that? Have you just simply trusted in Christ and His cross? As Charlotte Elliott wrote, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. But notice other parts of our gospel. It's not just left there. He suffered and died, yes, but notice what else that we read in verse 3. He appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And I love those two words, actually alive. What does this say? Well, this is saying that God has publicly vindicated His Son. Everything that Jesus said about Himself, everything that He said about God, everything that He said about salvation is vindicated through His resurrection. God raised Him from the dead. What does this mean? It means that His sacrifice on the cross was accepted by a holy God. his perfect and full sacrifice accepted. Christ, it also means this, Christ is a living Savior, and he can help you right now. He lives. Look, don't ever think that Jesus is a dead martyr. It wasn't martyrdom. He went to that cross and died with a purpose, a theological purpose, an eternal purpose. He died for our sins. He's not a dead martyr. He's a living Lord and Savior. The Son of God continues his work. That's the other thing that it means. When we say he's actually alive, that means he's continuing to work in our world. And this is what we would refer to as his heavenly ministry. His heavenly ministry begins. So what does Luke say? He says, you know, Theophilus, I've dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Now I'm about to talk to you about the journey continuing through the apostles and the church that stands on their foundation. His earthly work of redemption complete. It is finished. His heavenly work gets started as he ascends on high and he sends the Holy Spirit. And that's the key to understanding the heavenly ministry of Jesus. He continues to teach and bless and strengthen. How does he do that? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ in several places in the New Testament. Jesus said just shortly before he died, "It is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate or the Helper won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us enter in more fully into what God has said and done in Jesus Christ. And what is Christ continuing to do through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit? Well, his ministry is present and ongoing in us. That is our sanctification. He's changing us. And his present and ongoing ministry is through us. Jesus continues to make a difference in this world through his people, the body of Christ. In salvation, we rely on what Christ did for us on the cross. But as he's sanctifying us, we're relying on what he's doing in us by the Spirit. And then not only that, he's doing something through us. Those who receive Christ also are to respond to Christ and to be his transformed people in this world, his light in this world. I can summarize it this way. Christ gave his life for us, that he might give his life to us, that he might give his life through us. So, his life is for us, his life is in us, his life is to be lived through us. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, Philippians 1, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. This is your place. This is your purpose. In the church, loving and serving God. Richard Plaud, I think I'm pronouncing that right, he built a replica of the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks. I don't know if you've heard about this. Pretty impressive. He spent 8 years building his model. His model was 23 feet high. He used 706,900 matchsticks. Then he was informed, he thought he had a world record. Then he was informed that he did not have a world record because the matchsticks he were using were wrong. They were missing the flammable sulfur heads on top, which violated the rules. He spent 8 years of his life doing something that ultimately didn't matter. Now, would it have mattered if he would have used the right matchsticks? I guess that's pretty impressive, you know, build the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks. But the point of this is we're always to be checking our matchsticks today, making sure we're building on the right foundation, checking to make sure we have the right ingredients and what can make a difference in our lives and in our homes, in our families, and in the world, because we're not there yet. As we journey through this fleeting life, and it is fleeting, it is fast, let us never forget the purpose for which we have been created and redeemed. That is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And how do we go about fulfilling this noble purpose for our lives? To give our lives to Christ, to let Him give life to us and live life through us, living for Him. The Apostle Paul boldly declared, and this is a bold statement, in Philippians 1 he said, "For me to live is Christ." Yes, to live is Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank You for just these brief reflections on Your Word that remind us of Your purpose and grace in Jesus Christ. We're reminded of Your Word, which says if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's just the summary of life. We live, we die, and it's about You. May we live for Christ. For me to live is Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity, not only to hear Your Word read and proclaimed, this opportunity to worship and offer our praise, but to come to this Your table. May we come with repentant hearts, with renewed hearts, and with rejoicing hearts to the glory of Jesus. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen. So our Lord certainly wanted us to remember what He was about to do. And He had a final meal with His disciples. And He said, I want you to experience something that you can feel and taste and see, which represents what I'm about to do for you spiritually. And Jesus took bread and He broke the bread and He said, this is My body given for you, broken, that you might be made whole. He lifted up a cup. He called it a new covenant or a new testimony from God that is written in the blood of our Lord Jesus. And He said, through My blood, sins can be forgiven. Through trusting in My sacrifice. Remember, it is a single offering. It is a sufficient offering. It is a final offering for our salvation. And when we embrace what Christ has done for us on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we offer our praises as we're reminded of Your love for us in Your Son. We want to offer our lives to You as we come and open our hearts to Your truth, Your good news, Your gospel. May we be encouraged and strengthened. May we just have some happiness in coming. We're thankful for the grace that is sufficient to meet our every need and to give us eternal life. And we're reminded of all this and more as we come. May your Holy Spirit, who continues to be active, representing our Lord Jesus in this world, may Your Holy Spirit make Christ real to us as we come to His table. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.